Shvi'is Perkin Halacha Aleph. This mission is going to be about the halacha that at the end of Shvi'is, loans that are that people owe each other become canceled or canceled to the extent that you're not allowed to ask the person to pay you back. The mission says like this: Shvi'is Mishamet. This is a Melov Mishtar or Mishloim Mishtar. Shvi'is is Mishamet the loan. It will say cancels the loan, but it really means that you're not allowed to ask for collection. Whether the loan was made with a shtar or without a shtar. HaKlapas HaChanuz, in a Mishamitis, what a person owes at a store, they have credit at a store, they bought something, and they didn't pay for it yet, that is not, Shri'is is not Mishamit that loan, or that the fact that they owe that money. And so a Milva, how did you Mishamitis? But if they turned that amount of deal into a Milva, they sat down and figured out and said, okay, this is how much the loan you owe at your account, and made into a milva, then it's mishamed. If you don't remember harishim, harishim mishamed, that when a person has a hakafah at a chanos, each time that they do it, it would not be mishamed. When they buy a second time, then the first one becomes mishamed. They buy a third time, then the first and the second are mishamed. Those turn into long-term matter, and you can explain how that works. Schar sachar in a mishamed, what a person owes wages to a worker on that mishamet, then it's all milva. How is it mishamet? If you make it into a loan, again, how is it mishamet? You turn into a loan, then it's a loan, then it is mishamet. Rabbi Yisraimer, komochashi pesekes b'shvi'is mishametes. Any work that ends on shvi'is, the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Any work that ends on shvi'is is mishamet. If it doesn't end on Shri's, then it's not Mishamet. In other words, it's a worker, someone who works for you. If his work ended on Shri's, then come the end of Shri's, the loan is cancelled. But if his work does not end on Shri's and he's still working for you, then when Shri's ends, you still own the money. The Mishnah says like this: Hashem Chesed Parah. First, he checked in an animal, the Chilk of Rosh Hashanah, and he divided it on Rosh Hashanah. So what happened was he shechted the animal on a regular weekday, and he gave out the pieces on the day that he believed was Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year. So what happened is if he did that, and the people owe him money for the fact that he gave them these pieces of meat, so the money that they owe him, he believes they owe him the money as of the first day of the eighth year, in which case they won't become... Shemitah won't cancel that loan for another 7 years. He's got plenty of time to collect the money. And then what happened was, if it turned out that Bezdin decided to make El will have an extra day, the Eitan didn't come until Bezdin had already made it into an extra day, so it turned out that day that it was Rosh Hashanah was really Erev Rosh Hashanah, in which case, come that night, the loan was going to be canceled. That Mishamah, then the money that they owe him for the meat that he gave them becomes canceled with Shri'is. The Gemara is going to explain what happened to it. Does it not seem like this is a Hakafas HaChanos? Didn't he just gave them a piece of meat? So they owe money in this, they have money in the store that they owe. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. So you're not in Mishamah. If they were not in the Abba Hashanah, then it's not Mishamah because he borrowed the money they borrowed the money on Rosh Hashanah, and they have a whole 7 years before it could be Mishamah because the beginning of the day of Rosh Hashanah is when it counts. Mishnah concludes on the fact that a person who's ma'anas mafata, he either forces the generations or convinces her, this is by Naya Marasa, he says over, reports things about his wife that are not true in a way that he's chayav for a knas, or hamayis bezin, and anything bezin besides, that means is Bezin wrote a psak halacha that a person owes money to somebody else, and then that's considered like it's already a collected loan, and ain't a mashmid in all these cases are not mashmidin. And the Mishnah says, "Hamal a mashkin." If a person lends money with a mashkin, so I lend you a dollar and in exchange give you back to hold on as a collateral. A mushi shurus of the Bezin, but someone gives over his shtar to Bezin to collect for him, ain't mashmidin. That is not mashan for him. The reason for this list who didn't is when you mafal a mashkin, the Torah says, "Hasheyilcha esachicha tashmid idecha." The only time that shmita's ksafim works is when the borrower has all the things from the lender. The lender gave him a dollar, so now the borrower has this dollar. But if the lender has something from the borrower, then we learn that from this pasuk. If the lender has sent from the borrower, that is to say a mashkin, then the loan is not mashamin. And much shorter of the bezin, if we learn from a pasuk, what you have from your friend, that's what becomes, that's what's mashamin. But as opposed to over here, bezin is the one who has the chayv, not you, and therefore you're not mashamin. Okay, so now the mashamin talks about this. Hashvit mashamin this. The Mishnah said that shvit can be mishal whether there is a shtar or there's not a shtar. So the Gemara says, Micha, sholei b'shtar. I understand that if there's no shtar, then shmit is mishalim. But b'shtar? But if there's a shtar, should also be mishalim? The asik no longer mashkin, but you're mishalim. Why isn't, if you have a shtar, you have a document that explains that some person owes you money, well, that means that it has a chlayus to it also. It means the person has committed his property to this loan. So it's as if he got a mashkin, because you have a property that's going to cover in case he can't pay up the money. Excuse me, so why is milf b'shtar, why is that mashkin? So the Gemara is going to have, basically has two answers. And the first answer is going to be this. The first answer is going to say that it's there's going to be two versions of this first answer, but the first answer is going to basically be that there was no achrayz. We'll say that the Mishnah is talking about a shtar. There is a shtar, but the shtar happens to have no achrayz. And as they wrote into the shtar, Reuven bought a dollar from Shimon, and his land is not achrayz for this thing. Who hold that if a person doesn't write in that there's achrayis nechassim, then in fact there is no achrayis nechassim. Otherwise, everybody else holds. If you don't write in achrayis nechassim, there's achrayis anyhow once it's in the shtar. The Rameh holds it's not, and therefore there's a shtar, but the shtar didn't say that the person's money, his property is achrayis for this, and therefore, so it's not achrayis. That's the case of the Mishnah. And when the Mishnah says b'shtar, means a shtar that didn't have achrayis. Now the Gemara just tells us, a story happened with Rechonon, b'shtar, that there was a shtar, she'em b'achrayis nechassim, v'harim m'shamen, and he paskin that it is m'shamen. Now, we just said a second ago that he said it's not going to be m'shamen, and he paskin that it was m'shamen. Amar, and he said, just because we made our own judgment as to what the Mishnah must be talking about, we said, it's probably talking about a case where there was no achrayis, that's not a reason for us to pass on anything like that. We can't take money away from somebody else just because we logically came up with that conclusion. So he was, in other words, to say he thought he was right, but not convinced to the extent that he was willing to pass on, take money from someone based on that. Okay, and then Amr, Yirmiyah has a different version of basically the same answer that Rabbi Yochanan had, which was, Sh'ein l'karka, it's talking about a person who had no property. So he lent money, this is shtar, he lent money to somebody else, but he never had any property. So, Yesh l'karka, and Mishamah, if he would have had property, it would be Mishamah. It would be not be Mishamah. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan are both saying, they're agreeing to the question, and they're agreeing that if a shtar came with achrayis, it would be like you had a mashkin, and then shvi'is would not be mashamit. But the Mishnah talking about that there's no achrayis, either because you didn't write an achrayis in the shtar, or you may have written in, but the person had nothing to make achrayi for his loan. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is going to say the other answer. He's going to disagree with the question completely. A few yesh l'karka mashamit. Even if the person has karka, it's still mashamit anyhow. It's still the loan is still mashamit. East of Rabbi Yossi, Karav. Rabbi Yossi is saying like Rav Damar Bar Pachem Rav. Yichid like Karka. Now the Gersh, we're going to have the correct Gersh that we have is Yichid like Karka in mashamit. If a person had a loan and he designated a specific piece of property from which to collect, then it's not mashamit. The reason because in that case it's already collected. The land itself is the way he's collecting the loan. And loy amru el yichid loy. That's only true if he was miyachinas, he designated specific piece of property. Loy yichid loy. If he would not, the miyachinas in the gersa is mishamit, and loan it would be mishamit. So we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yirmiyah on one side and Rav on the other side as to whether a loan that has land backing it up is mishamit or is not mishamit. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yirmiyah, it would not be mishamit. And according to Rav, it would be mishamit. And in fact, this machlokes is repeated in the Bavli over there. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are the ones who say that if the person has property, it's not mishamit. And it's Rav and Shmuel together who say that it would be mishamit. Okay, so we've now heard an explanation as to what it means in the Mishnah that it's Bishtar. So the Mishnah, now the Gemara is going to talk about some halachas about a person who has a loan that comes together with land that is designated to pay off the loan. And the Gemara says like this, on the Shabbat, subject to Ishtar, person, a man has a ksuba that he owes his wife money. He owes her money. Excuse me, in case he'll die or divorce, he owes her money. So he's mishabed. He says this field is the one from which you're going to collect. And then he went ahead and he sold the field. If it comes time now to collect the ksuba, she has a choice to collect from this field or from his nechassim, his property that he has that's not real estate, but money or things like that he has. She can collect from either one. So that is to say, the field that he said she can collect from, he told her she can collect from that field, even though he sold it, and she has money in the bank, she can take that money also. I'm not sure. Hayri Rav Lezer Kehen Tania. Rab Lezer passing like this bracelet that we just said. So then the people in the yeshiva asked, shouldn't she only collect from the chasim shabbatim? Shouldn't she only collect from the field? The person had said, you're going to collect your ksuba from this field, so why shouldn't she only collect from that field? Rabbi Yasi responded to them, b'nei chermen lefaneh avaram shabbatim. If the person has b'nei chermen, he has three things. When there's something that's not collecting through a shibud, but just as private cash, you should say, and your claim that you should claim that you get from the shibudim. It doesn't work like that. And if a person has b'nei chermen, they can collect from the b'nei chermen. So in this case, we have two things pulling us. One is that if a person has b'nei chermen, you're always allowed to collect from b'nei chermen. We have a din in Gittin that says that if a person could always collect from b'nei chermen, but at the same time, the fact that he had said that you can collect from this field, on the Shabbat, this field, means that she has a right, if she wants to go after that specific field. Okay, but she doesn't lose her right to go after the b'nei chermen. And that's the thing. We're going to this last part of the Gemara, like the Gemara, the that's a different Gemara, this we're going to like the Gemara, that's the thing. This memory that we said that Shabbat Sadul Ishtar, she could choose cut from either one, that's talking about B'shaloi Amalah, when he didn't say to her, Loi Hem Chaprain Uzeh, he didn't say you can collect only from this one. He just said, you can collect from this field. But if he would have said you can only collect from this piece of land, then in the only manner, then the Chavraya would have been correct that you can only collect from that specific one. You would not be able to collect from B'nei Chermen. But in this case, that's not what he said. The man just said is you can collect from this field, so that gives her an extra right to collect from it if she wants to. But it means that she's still allowed to collect from the B'nei Chermen if she chooses to do that also. Nothing more so than this. On the Shabbat Shadul Chavira, a person was Meshabbat a field to his friend. We're going to find out what that means exactly. But it sounds like the case we said before him, that he said, this piece of land is designated for you to collect from. V'hol ha-machra, and then he went and sold the land to somebody else. Rav Acha Amar Mechur L'Shot. Rav Acha says that it's sold temporarily. That is to say, until the person comes and collects the property, maybe 5 years before he comes around to collecting it and for his loan that the person owes him, it temporarily belongs to the buyer, which is to say that the buyer can eat the produce of that field. It is not sold temporarily, and the produce has to go back to the seller. But what would be the reason why the produce should go back to the seller is because there's a ripus question over here, which is, if I sell a field to this person for $10, and then when someone collects the loan from him, I have to give him his $10 back. I give him his $10 back, and the field went to this person who I had that money to. So what turned out was that the appearance is that this person lent me $10. He had my field, and he gave me the $10, and I give him the $10 back 5 years down the road. But so if he ends up taking the fruit of that field, then it has the appearance of getting ribbons, because he lent me $10, he got $10 back, plus he got the fruit of the field for all these years. So therefore, it's not sold, and the moicher, the seller, has to keep the produce of those intervening years. The strength of Rishi, the basis where he gets his deal from, from this memo, which is, the following, it says, the reason, Shar, Matzahu Avrichoi. If a person says that his animal is his shepherd ox is from where you'll collect, then you can only collect from that animal as long as the person has it. Once he sells it, you can't collect it. Why? You can't collect from it. Because Matzahu Avrichoi, it's easy for the buyer to run away with it, to take it away somewhere else where you can't find it. And therefore, when you say to somebody, you're going to collect from my shard, this is the shard you're going to collect from, it's understood, you're only going to collect from it as long as you, the lender, still has it. But as soon as you sell it to somebody else, you can't collect it. And the reason why that's understood is because it's so easy for the buyer to make the animal disappear, just take it someplace else. Therefore, you don't count on me to collect from it later on. But Saga, anyone's about Rico, you can't run a field where you can send the field someplace else and hide it. And therefore, the person has in mind that he's going to collect even from the field, even if you sell it, and therefore you can. So the Rebbeisi's strength comes from here, because the Eina Matzla Richa is understood to mean it's not sold even temporarily. It's like completely in your property. It's not at all sold. Not clear to me why that is, but somehow he's being medayik from the head. Eina Matzla Richa implies that it's completely not sold, and it belongs, it's not even Mechur Risha. So the Gemara says a question on the Hagatz Mechur Risha. Is it true that you can't make a field disappear? It's not true. If you sell it to someone who's a really tough person who's hard to get things away from, then that person won't let you collect from it. So if I sell it to the right person, then you won't be able to collect from that field, because he'll never give it out of his hand. So maybe field also, I don't count on getting them, because I'm afraid you'll sell them to someone who I can't get them from. Avuidim, the father of Masniya, said the father, no, it's not true. With time, people who are tough and strong and, you know, hard to get things out of, eventually they fall, and eventually they lose their strength, and therefore the person figures that eventually he'll get it back from the guy who took it, even though it was given to someone who is hard to get things out of, eventually he'll get it from him. Tini, we want to advise that. Could this be a point to kill Isha? If a person writes that a field will be mapoitiki for a lady in her ksuba. Mapoitiki is, as we've been talking, is that you designated this is the field that you're going to collect from. So you wrote it for a lady for her ksuba, or for someone who you owe money to as part of his choiv. You say to him, this is the place you're going to collect your field from. Macha, harizem ruchura, if he sold it to somebody else, it's sold. The sale goes through, and the buyer will take care of it. And that means is the person who borrowed the money will try to get from the Bnei Chayrim first. If he can't get from the Bnei Chayrim, then he can get from this piece of land. But he has to first try to get from the Bnei Chayrim. So the Gemara says, "Masnisa, Misha Amala, Yehilcha Purayin Mizu." The Masnisa, with this case that we just said over here, is talking about that the person said, "Yehilcha Purayin Mizu." You could collect from this piece of land, and therefore, first you have to get from the Bnei Chayrim, and only if you're really stuck. You're allowed to take from this field. Ma pligon, the machlokes that we had before, and he said, Mechur l'shor, not Mechur l'shor, but Sha'amala, loy elcha pardon me, you said is, this is the only thing you can get to collect the money from. And therefore, when he said, excuse me, this is the only thing you can collect from, then, in that case, the person can go straight to the Meshubazim. He does not have to take from the Bnei Chayrim first, and therefore, he can collect from it. So this case, we have like Yashiach HaShatzmai, that he has to first get from the Bnei Chayrim. That's when you said, you told him, so you should know, I have a field that you might be able to collect from. But if he said, you will only collect from it, that's the case where the person goes straight from that field, and then there's a machlokes, whether it's Mechur L'shar or not Mechur L'shar. Okay, now, the Gemara says the following statement, it's a machlokes, Shailun in the before we know what this means, Rav Omar, Pagma, or Zakfa, and Zakfa, Bishloi Pagma. So the Marafuldo learns that this is talking about a Kesubas Isha. If a person owes money to his wife for her Kesuba, so the din is when Shemitah comes, this is not spoken out here in the Gemara or in Mishnah, but when Shemitah comes, so that loan is not Mashamah. The loan, the responsibility he has to pay her up the Kesuba does not go away. But if she would turn it into a loan, she would say, this is not a ksuba anymore, now it's a loan, then it would be. So Rav says, in order to turn it into a loan, this is a bit of a mouthful, in order to turn it into a loan, either she has to be pagma, although it's like, she has to pagma, she has to damage it, take away from it, which is that she collected part of the amount of the ksuba. That would be enough to turn it into a loan. The rest of it is a loan. Even if Loy Zakfa, even if she didn't say formally that this is a loan. Or Zakfa would be Loy Fagma. The same thing is if she would say, if she's turning it into a loan, even if she was never paid, but she didn't collect anything, that's enough to turn it into a loan. And at this, in either of these cases, it's a loan, and Shmita would be Mishamil. And Tanya Rabchia, Acha Tivkar and Tivkar, that no, you have to do both. You have to collect part of the money, and you have to be Zoyka fucking Nova, you have to say that you want it to be a loan. You have to do both things. Okay, that's how the Mouthful learns, and others learn as well. The question on it is just that in the Gemara, the Bavli brings this kind of a machlokes also, and says that the Bavli brings such a machlokes, and in that case, Rav says that you need Tivkar. So it doesn't seem to be the correct shittas. Names don't seem to be right there. Okay, Ruchan Kinesky learns that this is going on the case of a person who had a hakafas achanos, he owed money in a store, that over there, in that case, is the machlok is whether pagma is both, or pagma goes up for zakfa, pagma is good enough. Then the Gemara said this, Rebuda had said in the Mishnah that if you have a loan, if you buy something in the store on credit, then the shvius is not reshamanit. But when you buy this, every time you buy in the store, subsequent time that you buy in the store, the earlier loans go off. So you bought something on Sunday, that will not be reshamanit. You buy something now on Monday again, now the Sunday thing is ready for to be reshamanit. You buy it now a third time, the first two will go off. How is it that automatically, when I buy a second or third time, then the earlier ones automatically turn into a nova? How does that work? Well, why is that? I didn't make it into a nova. I just owe more money in the store. What should we do? I'm a bezer. So let's say this. What the Gemara now is going to quote to me from the end of the Mishnah, that the end of the Mishnah said this story about a case about a person who had shechted an animal before Rosh Hashanah, and then he gave over the animal, divided the animal to people on the day that he thought was Rosh Hashanah, and then it turned out that they later made the year longer, and it ended up not being Rosh Hashanah. So on that case, we have the same question, which is, in that case, an even stronger question, in that case, it seemed like I had given someone hakafas achanos, I had given him food from a store, and he just owes me the money. So why is it mishamet? Let's say even they made it turned out to be only Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why should it be mishamet? Why don't we just say that it's the person who owes the money to a store? So the Gemara answers to that question, Amar Blazer, Rabbi Yehuda, that part of the Mishnah is going to Rabbi Yehuda, and it's talking about that you gave the person more than one piece of meat. You gave the person more than one time did you give this person meat. And therefore, it's considered you gave it to him a second time, so now the first one is the one that will become the Mishaman. For Royal Type Rosh Hashanah, it's talking, and it means is, it's that you, when you, it is, there's a lot going on here in the background. When a person gives some credit in a store, they're allowing him to pay back later, and it's not Mishaman because right now you're not paying a loan, you're paying just for the food. Instead of paying today, you're paying a little later. When the person comes to take food a second time from your store, the standard at that point is that you turn to the person and say, if you can't take more food on credit until you pay for the first one. So, and that person, the person should pay up then. If he doesn't pay up then, and you allow him to take a second time, then it says, if you turned it into a loan, you're saying, okay, the first time, you just owe me that money. You owe me the $10 for the first thing you bought. And now you want to have something on credit. You want to pay it a little later. So now the second one is hakafas achanos. The first one automatically turns into a loan. Now, in a regular case, on a plain old Tuesday, it's not automatic. It's a conversation that we have. When the customer walks into the store says, you want to take more stuff? You didn't pay me the last stuff yet. So the customer says, either the customer pays, or the customer says, you know what, let me just owe you that money, and let me take this on as hakafas achanos. Hakafas achanos is just a temporary thing, I'll pay you a little later. So, the royal type of Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, you can't ask the person for money. You can't say, please pay me up for the first piece of meat you took. because it jumped him, or you believe thought it was jumped him. So it's royal the time you have. And Rabbi Moshe Nazir says like this, the moment Shroy Lahamina, it's money that he should trust him, and Kivin Shroy Latoyloi, Kemishu Royally to my money. So it's questions and gears over here. Since you could have asked him for the money, meaning if it would have not been Yontif, you could ask him for the money. He would be supposed to give you, to pay you up for the first thing that he bought. But can't have Royally to my son. So that's what we said over there for the din of Rosh Hashanah. That over there we said, even though you never asked him for the money to pay off for his first piece of meat, and he didn't turn back to you and say, I can't pay, please turn into a loan, all of that is assumed when he takes the second piece of meat. It's sort of like unspoken that, oh, the first one is going to be a loan because you're not paying, you really should pay for the first one even before you take the second one. Now you can't pay because it's yomtiv, but it's all that's unspoken and turned into a loan. So here also the Khan, here, since you should have given me money, which is to say, since the first, you're taking a second food from my store, the second time you take something, you really should give me money, not saying you didn't pay me for the first thing. That's what we're showing you know, and then the first one automatically turns into a loan, because that's the standard way people would do business. According to Rabbi Huda is, when you want to take more credit in my store, I say, you can't take more credit until you pay up the old one, and if you don't want to pay it up, then I say, okay, it's a loan, and now you can, I'll extend you credit for the new food. So that's the explanation for Rabbi Huda Shita. Okay, Rabbi Yeshi Amir Komocho Shipa Sekes. Rabbi Yeshi had said was, if the work ends on Shvi'ez, meaning before the end of Shemitah, then the amount that you owe is a loan, otherwise it's not. So there's a machlokes now, what did Rabbi Yeshi mean? Rabbi Yeshi Amir begin Harisha. Rabbi Yeshi Amir says it's talking about, when we see Melocha that ends on Shvi'ez, it's malacha like harisha, like plowing, which is to say it was a malacha that had to end on Shvi'ez. It was a malacha that because of Shvi'ez you weren't allowed to do anymore. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the only time Rabbi Yossi says that the money is now a loan is when the malacha had to end on Shvi'ez. And what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that if a person, if I plow for somebody else, then when it comes Shemitah, I'm out of a job because I can't plow on Shvi'ez. I can't plow for them. So therefore, my work comes to a very strong stop, because that work is not available at all, and therefore in that case, now the person should pay me up, because I'm really finished the job is not going anyplace anymore, and therefore he should pay me. If he doesn't pay me, then it becomes a loan, because if it's a loan, then when the industry becomes, he doesn't have to pay me anymore. But were the person to just be working in some other industry, I was building a house for him, I'm going to see in a second, I was building for him. So then, even though the particular job that I'm doing happened to have ended, it may not be that we're finished. Maybe all of them want me to build something more tomorrow, and therefore, I don't end it. It doesn't end in such a strong way, and therefore, if it's still considered that he owes me wages rather than he owes me the loan, if he owes me wages, that does not get... then Shvi'ez is not Mishamer. Rav Shimon ben Malka Shemer begin binyan. Rav Shakish argues and says, no, even if the work ended because of a building, so it happened to be that I was building him a garage, and that work ended up on at the end of Shvi'ez. In the middle of Shvi'ez, the work was over. For that also, if the person doesn't pay me right away, it becomes a loan, and when Shemitah comes to the end, the loan is canceled. That Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Melacha Shipa Sekes, the Shvi'ez. When Rabbi Yossi says the Melacha ends, he meant is it ends because of Shvi'ez. That Rabbi Shimon Melachas, Kol Melacha Shipa Sekes Me'elah. It work that happened had ended. It just by itself it ended because the job was over. He was building the garage and the garage was finished. Okay, so the Gemara says this. Let me have a little question here. Gives us here. Ma, we'll learn tomorrow for the Ma. Why Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi? Why Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, our Mishnah, what I was trying to say, is not Rabbi Yehuda in Shavuos. We're in Shavuos, but Rabbi Yehuda in Shavuos is not like the Rabbi Yossi. Seems to be not like the Mishnah of our Mishnah. And that is because why Rabbi Yehuda, I mean. Rabbi Yehuda says in Shavuos, Ein derech ha-shulchan ilios leisen iser achit odinar. A shulchan, someone who runs a money exchange, does not take... that will not give you want to exchange money, you know, one coin for a different coin, a big coin for a small coin, will not give you the amount that you're supposed to get from him until you give him the coin that you want to exchange. And he doesn't let the customers take their money until he gets theirs first. The customer pays the shulchani, gives the shulchani the money, then he gives it back. And according to Yehuda, we thought that workers do the same thing, that workers do not take a job until they get paid to do the job. And if so, if workers get paid beforehand. The fact that the worker did not get paid, if so, and the fact that he did not get paid is nulla. He's lending the money to the person who hired him, and therefore, if it's a nulla, then even if the job would not end on Shvius, it should still be Mishana. Even if the job ends after Rosh Hashanah, the fact that I'm working for you and you haven't paid me yet means I'm giving you a loan. I'm allowing you to not pay me up. So, seemingly, Rabbi Yossi, who says it depends whether the work ends on Shvius or doesn't end on Shvius, should be not like Rabbi Yehuda, because according to the way Rabbi Yehuda says about a Shulchan, we think a worker should be the same thing. And if so, if the worker should be the same thing, then if I'm working for somebody and he hasn't paid me yet, it must be that I decided the whole thing should be a loan, and if I decided to be a loan, then Shvius should be Mishamed. So he wants to know, it's not true. The truth is, even though he says that, Moiduhu b'shar shochan she'in el-basarif, even though by a shulchani, that's the standard way they do business, the customer has to give the coin to the shulchani before the shulchani gives it back, but he agrees that by a worker, people don't pay the workers till the work is over, and since you don't pay till it's over, the fact, if the job would still be continuing through the end of Shvius, then the loan would not be canceled because you don't owe the money. It's so far just back wages. But only if the work ends on Shmita, then we say is now you owe him the money, and if you owe him the money, then when Shvius comes to an end, the loan can be canceled.
Now the Gemara says, the Mishnah had said that if the person gave someone a piece of meat on Rosh Hashanah, and then it turned out that day was not Rosh Hashanah, so then, come the end of the day, the loan is Shmita takes off the loan. So now the Gemara says the following. Rabbi Omer, Nisan is Arab Miyamov. It never was that the month of Nisan needed to have 2 days for Rosh Chodesh, which is to say, we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh when the month beforehand has 30 days. And therefore, it never happened in Nisan. Nisan, the month before him, which is Adar, always ended after 29 days, and the 30th day was always Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It never had to be pushed to the next day. That the Adar would have been 30 days, and Nisan would be the next day. And the reason is has to do with Bezin always arranged that Shem like that, so that people wouldn't have confusion as to when Pesach starts. In fact, the Gemara for Taninan in Ba Chodesh Bismane. There's two ways to learn this Gemara. The Maharal learns that the Gemara says in Ba Chodesh Bismane. That is to say, it's a brisa that says that if the new every year starting in Nisan, you have to start using the money for the carbonus seber, the things that the public gives, that money comes from the new donations that people gave. That's starting Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So, and this price is saying, if the new money was available, then, Bach Chodesh Bismani, if the new stuff came, then they would start Bismani, starting Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they would start using the new money towards buying the carbonus that the public had to give. So, the Gemara means he has the following question, according to the mouthful of the zoning. We announced the beginning of the collection of that money on Rosh Chodesh Adar, and the Gemara explains that the reason is because we need 30 days for the collection. Well, if Adar always had only 29 days, then it doesn't make sense, and they would start using the new stuff from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it doesn't make sense they should start Rosh Chodesh Adar, it's only 29 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the fact that it says here that if the new stuff was available, they would start using it on the first day of Adar, a first day of Nisan, implies that there were going to be 30 days in Adar. So that's not like we had been saying until now, or Hank Kunievsky learns that the Gemara means to say that the Gersh is in Ba Chodesh Bismane, and that means it says if the month came at its right time, then you start. If they were Mekadosh to Chodesh and they decided that first day of Nisan was Rosh Chodesh, then you start using the new money that day. Depends on what Bezin says. If Bezin says no, it's not Nisan yet, it's still the old month, Adar, then they would use the money from the old collection. Well, that implies it could go both ways. It could be 29 days or 30 days in Adar. So again, implying not like Rebbe had said that it's possible that Rebbe said there was always only 29 days, and according to either one of these explanations, we're seeing a reason to believe that there could be 30 days. So the Gemara answers in Ba Loi Ba. The Bryce is just saying it could happen. In ba, if it would happen, this would be the din. But in fact, Rebbe's telling us that loy ba, that it never happened. In fact, the month always had only 29 days. That line in ba loy ba reads a little more smoothly, according to Chaim Kanevsky, than it would according to the Mount Folder. Okay, Rav Amar, another statement. Tishrei, and this is what it's going to relate to our Mishnah. Tishrei, when it's Abram Yavav. The month of Tishrei also never had that it was pushed off. It never became Nisabar. Not that it itself, it means that the month before it never got made bigger, meant 30 days, so that the first day of Nisabar would be on the, so to speak, the 31st day of El. That never happened either. In fact, the Gemara, it says in our Mishnah that if someone gave someone else, lent him, gave him a piece of meat on Rosh Hashanah, on the day they thought was Rosh Hashanah, and then they extended the month, and it turned out that the next day was Rosh Hashanah. So the din is, the Mishnah talked about whether it's Mishamar or it's not Mishamar. So the Mishnah is implying that it could be that, that Rosh Hashanah would be pushed off to the next day. And here Rav is saying that it never happened. And the Gemara gives the same answer, Imhayo or Hayo. That the Mishnah said it could happen, Imhayo if it would be. The Mishnah was telling you what the din would be if that would ever happen. But Loi Hayo, Rav is telling us the truth that it actually never happened, and therefore, the Mishnah is telling us a theoretical din, what would be, as far as the Shemitah part of it, but Rav is telling us that in truth it never happened. So now the Gemara says another question. We have a Tosefta that says the following. When they were Mekadesh, the Shana and Usha, there was a certain period in the time of Klal Yisrael, they were Mekadesh, the Chodesh in this place, the following happened. And before we read the Gemara, we'll say like this. There's a Machlokes in... this Machlokes as to whether the Gemara brings it in Rosh Hashanah, in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, in Bavli, and then it's like this, as the Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, you blow Shofar by Malchus, which is by the Kedushas Hayyim, that he holds you put Malchus together with Kedushas Hayyim in the Atta Kaddish, and during that time when you blow the Shofar, and Rabbi Kiva holds that Malchus is the Bracha, after that, it's not in the Kiddush, not in the Kiddush, it's in its own bracha, and that's when you blow the shofar. So there was a mach like this. So what happens like this? So Kishrei Hashanah Usha, in those days, when they would be in Kadosh Hashanah and Usha, B'yom HaRisha, on the first day, Amar Rishon B'noi from Yochanan ben Berakha, he was the Chazan, and Amar Kiddur Yochanan ben Nuri. And he said, like Yochanan ben Nuri, that they blew in the bracha of Atta Kiddush. They blew shofar. That's not what we used to do in Yavna. In Yavna we used to do like Rabbi Kiva, that we blew in a separate bracha, not in at the Kodesh, but in a bracha of an independent bracha of Malchus. B'yom HaSheni. And the second day, of our Rabbi Hananya, B'nai Shem Yer Yishyaglili, a different person was the Chazan, Hananya, the son of Yishyaglili, and Omar, Kidev Rabbi Kiva, and he did like Rabbi Kiva, which is a new story for this in the separate bracha. So that day, Rishon Lezion says, "Kein ha'yinoigim yavne." That's exactly what we used to do in Yavne, that we used to blow at the second bracha. So, what do you see? So the Gemara says, "Tani kichu barishin v'sheni." No, I'm sorry. "Tani kichu barishin v'sheni." So he, so we have a question. It says they did on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and they did on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. There was the first day, and this is what happened. On the second day, this is how they blew it. So that it says it was the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the second day. Why would there be a first day of Rosh Hashanah and a second day of Rosh Hashanah? Obviously, they did the first day of Rosh Hashanah on what would have been the 30th day of Elul, and then they realized that, no, the month had to be pushed off. They were not Mekadesh the Chodesh until the next day, so they decided that the 31st day would be the first day of Tishrei. So you see that, in fact, you could have 30 days in Elul. And, of course, these people, all these people we just mentioned, lived long before Rav. So Rav says it never happened. Really, it never happened. Here we have a story that it happened. There was a second day. If there was a second day, it's because they must have decided to have an extra day of Elul. So that's a question on what we said from Rav. So now, there's two ways to read the next parts of the Gemara. We'll read it the way the Gemara is, which is, the next couple of words, he pulls out from here and waits at the end of the Gemara. So the Gemara, now, according to that, Gersh asks, "Ma bin Harishin, ma bin Hasheni?" Well, no, you're misunderstanding it. What does it mean when it says, on the first they did like this, on the second they did like this? It means that Baruch Hashem Rav means Shana Rishana, Shana Shniyah. What happened was the first year they were doing it, this is what happened, and the second year this is what happened. So you think it's one was the first day of Rosh Hashanah, was the second. No, it's not true. It was the first year of Rosh Hashanah in that place, and it was the second year of Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh says, really, what are you talking about? Well, Tani Yom Rishon V'Yom Hashani. Doesn't say that it happened on the first day. It says B'Yom Rishon they did this, U'B'Yom Hashani they did like this. How can you tell me it's the first year and the second year? So according to Malfulda, his way of learning, even though hadn't taken out those words, he holds that the words that we took out are not relevant to the Shaila, and according to him, the Gemara leaves open the question, that the Gemara holds that the truth is that it was on two different years. There has never happened that Rosh Hashanah should be on the 31st day. The first day of Tishrei didn't ever wait till the 31st day, and the Gemara leaves open the question, why is it Yom Rishon? We don't know. But according to the Gemara, the Gemara now, and Chaim Kanievsky learns like this, the Gemara now pulls in those words that we had cut out and says like this. Reb Zeir B'Shem Chizda says, Oysa Hashanah Neskalkala. This is an answer to the question. And he's saying is that year they got messed up. What the Gemara means to say is that year they made Rosh Hashanah by mistake on the 29th day of Elul, a day that for sure is surely not Rosh Hashanah. They made it that day. And after that day was over, they said, they sat back and they said, oh my gosh, we went to Skalkala. We totally messed up. We made Rosh Hashanah completely on the wrong day. Not because they thought it was they thought it was the 30th day. They thought it was the day that it was really the first day of Tishrei. And they were totally made a mistake, and they realized that. So they had to have a second day of Rosh Hashanah because they had made it, basically, they had made Rosh Hashanah on a day that was totally not qualified to be the day of Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, so it's not that they had 2 days because one day would have been the 30th day of Elul, so to speak, which would be the first day of Tishrei, and then they decided to push it off to the 31st day, which would be the first day of Tishrei, but rather, they had made it on the 29th, which was a complete mistake, and then they realized it afterwards, and they therefore pushed it off to the next day. So, according to this, Rav is correct, it never happened that the El was given 30 days, and therefore it never happened that Rosh Hashanah was on the what we would call the 31st day. So now the Gemara says on the other, according to the Gemara, the next piece is going to read very smoothly that we had, which is going to say like this, Kitshu Kodom Lizmane, if they were Makadosh, the Chodesh, before the time, by Acher Ipuroi, or after the day, the expanded day, Yom Echor, one extra day, Yachol Yehem, well, the Gemara is going to say what this means in a second, you would think that the month should be considered Mu'ubar, the month should be done, it should be, according to the way Benson said it, because we're going to see later that the Gemara is going to say is, there's a rule that when Bezin is Makadosh Shachodesh, and the Bezin has a certain day for Shachodesh, even if they did that based on a mistake, once the Bezin makes that decision, that day is Shachodesh, regardless of whether it was correct or incorrect. So you would think if they did it too early or too late, you'd think that it would be Mubar, because the rule is whatever Bezin says, Tam Lamer Oysam. The Pasuk tells us, when the Pasuk tells us about the Yid making the mitzvah, making the Rosh Chodesh, Dabo B'nei Sofer, Marta Lehem, Moed Hashem Hashem Tekru, Oysam Mikroi Kodesh, you just call them the Mikroi Kodesh. So Oysam teaches us, Eirahim Moedai, I'm sorry, the end of the Pasuk, Hashem Tekru, Oysam Mikroi Kodesh, Eirahim Moedai, and we say like this, Lefnei Zmanai, Ein Eirahim Moedai. You can only have, only on those days, the days that are potentially suitable for Yontif, can Bezin make Yontif. But Lefnezmane, if you make it Lefnezmane, which means Esen Tishayim, if you make it on the 29th day of the month, the 29th day is physically not possible. It should be Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is, actually the moon cycle takes about approximately 29 and a half days. So Rosh Chodesh could either be on the 30th day, meaning you have the 29 full days, and the half of days were now on the 30th day, or it could be on the 31st day. It's possible that half, the half days add up to not even be the 31st day. But for sure it came down the 29th day. So if we, so it came down the 29th. So you can only make it, it's only on Oysam, on those days that are potentially suitable. So 29 doesn't count. What does it mean after the Iburi? It means Shoshim Roshnayim Yerim, on the 32nd day. So in other words, the month takes 29, it takes 29 and a half days for the moon to make its cycle. So either the 30th day could be Rosh Chodesh, or the 31st day could be Rosh Chodesh, but it's not possible for the 32nd day should be Rosh Chodesh, and therefore, those days are not Oysam. They don't even count at all. If there's a maid on them, it's completely meaningless. So according to the Gro, this fits in with what we had said before. This statement is really going about any month, but it fits in what we said beforehand, that they had realized that Rosh Hashanah was on the wrong day, they made it on the 29th, and the 29th is completely unsuitable for Rosh Chodesh. Now, another thing about how we, Bezin functions in making the months and the years, this is about the years. How do we know that if we can make the year longer, which is to say, in some year, Bezin is an extra Adar, how do we know we're allowed to do that for the reason of people from out of Eretz Yisrael who want to come to be to Yerushalayim to bring a Korban Pesach, and we find out that those people left home, and they're not going to make it in time for Pesach. So Beis Din wants to push, they give an extra Adar to give those people more time to arrive, and the thinking is that if we give them more time to arrive, then they'll be happy to have made a fee up to them, they'll come back. But if we don't give them more time, and they show up well after Pesach, they're never going to come back again. So therefore, how do we know we could do it for them? Talmud Lomar, B'nei Yisrael Moyadai. That same pasuk was Dabro B'nei Yisrael Martelhem Moyadai Hashem. So B'nei Yisrael, for all Jews of the Yom Tovim, Aseh Samoyadai Shiasu Sam Kol Yisrael, you should make the Yom Tovim for all of Kol Yisrael, and not just for the ones living in it. So we have to arrange the Yom Tovim in a way that all Yidden can participate. Amar Shulchan Nachman, V'hein Sheyil Nahar Pros. That's true, assuming we know that they will get to Nahar Pros. Nahar Pros is a border of Eretz Yisrael. We know they're going to get there by the time the new Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be. We're going to add in an extra month, so we're giving them 4 more weeks to travel, and they have to be able to make it to Nahar Pros by the time the new Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, so that they'll have time to make it to Yerushalayim by the time Pesach comes. But if they're not even going to make it to Nahar Pros by Rosh Chodesh, by the new Rosh Chodesh, they're never going to make it to Pesach anyhow. So although they might feel good that we pushed them off to make them close, but if they missed it, they missed it, so we're not going to push off the year just so that they can be a little closer, because if they're not going to make it at all, it's a waste of time. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yaakov Acha said, from Rabbi Imi Vishem Rabbi Yudah Rapazi, he said the following, Kitshuha, Ba'achakach, into Edom Sanin. What happens if Bezin announces that a new month is on a certain day based on Edom? Two witnesses came in and told us that they saw the new moon, and the Bezin listened to them and made the new month. And then afterwards, turned out the Edom was Zaymanim. Meaning, somebody came in and said, you two Edom couldn't have said you saw the moon in Yerushalayim on this and this day, because you with us in Chicago on that day. You couldn't have possibly seen it. So you couldn't have seen it where you said you saw it. So those are Edom Zayin, and the Edom are puzzle. So what happens when the Edom just became puzzle? So what's the din? Harizim Akudosh. The din is that the month stays as the way Bezin said it. Why? Because the rule is, as I mentioned, the rule is once Bezin says the month is on a certain day, it doesn't make a difference if they said that based on a mistake, such as in this case, where the Edom told them something, the Edom were liar, and the Edom are not Kosher Edom, the ones who said that, it doesn't make a difference. If Bezin says it, then the month is set for that day. Kamar B'yase, Rabbi Yudah Pazi, so Rabbi Yossi came with Rabbi Yudah Pazi, that is, that's the person who just made that statement, and he said to him, did you hear that from your father? Is that that you know that's true? You've mentioned, you said this din. Is it really, do you have a Masari that that's the correct din? Amalei came, yes, it's true. And to support that, we bring the Rabbi Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Eimidakten Be'edei Chodesh, when Bezin has Edom come in front of them to testify to when the new month happened. Bezin does not, they're not medactic, they don't pay very good attention to all the details of those Edom, and the reason is because even if the Edom are lying, even if the Edom are not saying something that's fully accurate, if Bezin chooses to make it a new month, it's really up to Bezin to make it a new month, and it's sort of like a formality, we have to have the Edom come in and say it. If the Edom are not perfect, it's okay. So we're not medactic, we don't pay so much attention to them. It's not like other cases where without the Edom, Bezin can't say anything. So therefore what they do is, they're not so medactic, which is like we said before, if the Edom end up being Zayim, that's not going to be a problem for anybody, because whatever Bezin does about the Chedesh Chedesh, that's good enough, even if the support for that ends up having, turns out to have been a mistake. So now the Gemara was dealing with the fact that the question of how the person who lent the meat to someone in Rosh Hashanah, how that month became Mubar, the Hebrew part of that story. Now we get back to the Shemitah part of the story. So the Gemara says, "Imhoya Chodesh Mubar Mishana." If it turned out that day was not Rosh Hashanah, but they pushed off the first day, Nisan got pushed off to the next day, so in fact the loan happened on the day before Shemitah, then the loan gets canceled. So now the Gemara says, "Amar Blazer, Rabbi Yehudi." This is the Gemara we had before him, that this all the mission must go from Rabbi Yehuda, which is to say, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who said that if you borrow money from a store, if you buy something from a storekeeper on credit, and then you borrow a second time, the first one turns into a loan. So that's what's been over here. The Mishnah didn't say that it turned into that you took me the second time, but it must be it did, because if you had taken me only one time, then that would be hakafas hachanos. So it would take something from strong credit, and that does not get canceled at the end of Shemitah. So it must be that you took it two times for royal time Rosh Hashanah, and when you take the meat the second time, it's as if it's as if the person had said to you, you know, you should pay me off for the first time and took on credit. He really wouldn't extend credit if you hadn't paid for the first time yet. And then the fact that he doesn't do that means that he does not ask you for that. It's as if it was Zachar not the Nova, and therefore the first one turned into Nova. So that's what was it happening in the case with the meat over here. The big one had said this before. The more here is just like hinting at what it had said before him. That part of the mission was going from Jabuta. So now the question is this. Rabba Mamo says from Rab Amram, who says from Ramasa Mishem Rav, Hamal is Chavir al Menashe L'Toyim Shviz, Shalot L'Toyim. A person lends money to somebody else on condition that he's never going to demand from him that he pay it up. So what it is that the Torah says when you borrow money from someone, that Shemitah is going to cancel that loan. The way the Torah says is that you can no longer demand that the person pay you up the money. So here we have a loan that you're not going to demand it from him anyhow. That was the original deal, was that you're not going to demand him that he pay up the money. So you might think that in that case, Shemitah is not cancel the loan, because all that Shemitah does is that it says, don't go and ask the person for his money. Well, you already had made up, you won't do that. But you might think that the answer is not true. Shemitah Mishantazoi, excuse me, when Shemitah comes to an end, the loan is taken off the same as any other loan. Okay, but Tani, and we have a bias that supports this. Shemitah Mishapor, our Mishnah, Shemitah Mishapor, the Chilk of Rosh Hashanah, a person lent a part to somebody else. Cow, and he's divided in Rosh Hashanah from Rosh Hashanah for the time Rosh Hashanah. So the person is, and he divided it up on what he thought was Rosh Hashanah, the Erev Rosh Hashanah. On that day, you're not allowed to demand a loan. It had to be royal time Rosh Hashanah. So he wasn't allowed to demand the money, and yet Shemitah is going to be in time to loan. So you see, like what these people said from Rav, that if a person can't demand payment for a loan, Shemitah could still be Mishal. No one says, no, we're not convinced that that's correct. Kaid, it should be like the Amar Abba, which the expanded version of what we have in the Mishnah, Mikivin Shuroi L'Toyvoi, Kivin Shuroi L'Aminai. But the fact that you should, when you give the second piece of meat, you should ask him for his money. So it must be that he trusts him. Mikivin Shuroi L'Aminai, Kivin Shuroi L'Toyvoi. The fact that I trust him by giving him a second piece of meat means he should have paid me money for the first piece. So that turns the first thing into a loan. The Gemara says the expanded version. And what the Gemara means to say is that it's not a right to rob, because in this case, the people, it's just an unspoken inability to collect the money, or unspoken turning it into a milva. While in case of rob, the guy had said specifically, I commit myself to never ask me for the money, so maybe that case is worse. We're not questioning what Rav said, we're just saying that it's not such a right for the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not as strong of a situation as what Rav is, that Rav had said, specifically the person made up a deal, he specifically won't ask him for the money. Now the Mishnah, so a different member from Rav, Rishi Rabun says, B'shem Rav, Ma'avas Chavei Al Menashe L'Tashmi Tenet Shviz, a person lends someone money, and they make up and then use the money on condition that Shvius will not cancel this loan. So what's the then? So the question about the gears is, but the what seems to flow best according to Marfold and the Gemara is, the Gemara's gears is, HaShvius Misham Tassu, the Shvius is Misham at that loan. Shvius does take off that loan. Even though they said it should not, they made up that the lending money on the condition that it does not take it off, even though Shvius does take off the loan. Okay, so Tanina, so we have a question on that. That Shvius takes off a loan, even. So I want to take that before I continue. Rav had said now two things. He had said is, if a person says, I won't demand the money from you before Shvius, the Shvius takes off the loan. If he says Shvius should not take off the loan, it takes off the loan. So seemingly going to Rav, Rav made these two statements are saying that no matter what, the loan is canceled. No matter what you say, the loan can get canceled. But now we have a question from the Mishnah. What happened was like this. There was Adam came in and said, that you owe somebody money, you owe him the money in 30 days from now. and the person says, no, it's not true. I don't owe it in 30 days. I owe it in 10 years from now. So everyone, both sides are agreeing that the person owes the money. The question is just, should he pay it now in 30 days or should he pay it in 10 years from now? So, and then what happened was the Eidim who said that it was in 30 days, they turned into Eidim Zayman. It became Eidim that Bezim was possible, and the punishment for Eidim Zayman is that they have to pay the amount they were trying to hurt the person. Now, in this case, they weren't trying to hurt him the amount of the loan because both sides agreed that it was a loan. So, what they do is, what the mission says is, you pay Eidim, you pay him the difference in how much someone would want to have a loan that can last for 30 days versus having a loan that can last for 10 years. I mean, there's a value to holding the money for so long. So the Eidim are trying to take away that value from him, and the Eidim have to pay that much. So, is it possible to have 10 years without a Shemitah? Obviously not. So since you have to always have a Shemitah in 10 years, so what that means is it's possible for a loan to last for 10 years. That the story is based on that assumption that a loan can last for 10 years. Well, that must be not like Rav. Rav said that no matter what you do, the loan can't last past Shemitah. No matter, even if you make these conditions, it's still loan doesn't last past Shemitah. So, but here we see in the Mishnah that loans can last past Shemitah. So the Gemara is going to give an answer. So really what we need just is a way for a loan to last for 10 years. Anyway, it doesn't make a difference how you do it. Somehow it's got to last. So we thought Rav's were the only way, and Rav had said they don't work. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Ispagul Nachum Yaakov Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachum Yaakov Rav Sheshes have an argument as to what the answer to this question is. Chanan B'milva B'mata Alashki. Once it's so gravity. Excuse me, once it is talking that you lent the money with a mashkin, the Chanan Amar, because the principle, one says it's your principle. So the first one, the one that says it has to mashkin, is what our Mishnah says. The Mishnah says if you lend money to someone on a mashkin, he doesn't have to. Then Shviz is not Mishamin. And the next Mishnah is going to say that if you write a principle to somebody else, to somebody, then Shviz is not Mishamin. So take it one way or the other. They came up with situations that Shviz cannot be Mishamin, and one would live for 10 years. Okay. Now they're going to say this to me. Shlishim yom, what I see, 30 days don't come. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Ma'ho shlishim yom, what I see. What does it mean? 30 days don't come. Shmuel Amar, the ma'ho shavir stam. When a person makes a loan to someone without saying how long the lending period is for, she'ein rashi otayv at shlishim yom. He's not allowed to come and ask him for the money for 30 days. So it says 30 days. You're not there, or it doesn't exist, means that for 30 days you can't collect a loan, unless you had made up some special amount beforehand. But if you make your stamp, please, here's money to borrow, you're not asking for 30 days. All Rabbi Yehuda v'amar taima. And Rabbi Yehuda came and said, he said, I have a reason, or a source, really means like a source, for this thing that says that you're not allowed to collect for 30 days. And then it says, the pasuk says, when a person wants to lend money, he says, Karva Shnasa Sheva, Shnasa Shemitah. The person is concerned, he says, it's getting close to Shemitah, so I don't want to lend money to somebody because I'm concerned that Shemitah is going to, the end of Shemitah is going to come, and the loan is going to be canceled. So, the person is concerned about that. And the attorney says, don't worry about that. Lend the money anyhow, and don't be worried that Shemitah is going to come and your loan is going to be canceled. So we ask a question, Lohi Shnasa Sheva, Lohi Shnasa Shemitah. Isn't the seventh year and the Shemitah year the same thing? So why does the person say, the seventh year is coming, the Shemitah year is coming? It's the same thing. Why did it say this repetitive wording? So what it means is like this. Is really the person is describing two things. What happened is, we'll learn like a number of the cases here, like Ruchaim Kineski, he says like this. So like time out. The person lent the money within 30 days before Shemitah. So, kosher is your man, Rashi, for 30 days I can't collect the money because for 30 days you're not allowed to collect the loan. And then after 30 days, it's going to bang into the end of Shemitah. So it's 30 days before the end of Shemitah. He says, Karvash Nasa Sheva. So firstly, a certain year is coming. And what we mean by that is, the Shnasa Sheva over here means is that the Gemara says in the Bible, in Makkah, when it brings this, that a year, 30 days is considered a year in a certain, some kind of a sense. So I'm saying, there's a year that's coming. The year that I the seventh year, and during that year, I'm not going to be able to collect. And that's because, excuse me, the loan is automatically for 30 days, I can't collect. And then Shnasa Shemitah is going to come. So he's going to take it over. I'm sorry. Yagvino. Afterwards, it comes the din of Shemitah Skaf, and I'm not going to be able to collect it. And that's why so the person is making a double question. He's saying, for 30 days, I can't collect it. After 30 days, I'm not going to be able to collect it either. So that's what he means when he says, that's why it says, each one is referring to one of those 2 days that he can't collect. And the third person is saying, and therefore I don't want to lend. And the third is saying, don't worry about it, lend it anyhow. And that's what it means to say. Okay, so that was a support to what we had said, that a loan, a stam loan, you can't collect it for 30 days. Basically, it's possible. So we want to say this. Loikane Amar Abba Mamo from Rav Amram, from the Maslim B'Shem Rav. Don't we have this memory that we said before? If a person made lent money to someone on condition that he will never collect from him, Hashvius Misham Tasa. Shvius cuts off that loan. So, if Rav said this, why did Rav say this? Rav is telling us that a person made up with somebody else, I will not collect the loan ever, Shvius Misham. Well, why do I have to say that? We just found out that there's a pasuk about that. And the pasuk says that there was a person who lent money close to Shemitah, and he, within 30 days before the end of Shemitah, and he said, I'm not going to be able to collect it for 30 days. So when the end of Shemitah came, it was a loan that was not demandable. You couldn't collect the money from somebody. Yet, and the Torah says, and Shemitah is still Moshav that loan. That's what the guy said. For 30 days, I can't collect it on my own. Then if, by the time my 30 days are over, it's going to be ended, Shemitah will have ended, and I won't be able to collect it ever. So why did Rav have to say his din? His din is really what we had just said from this Mishnah. So the Gemara answers that we're going to give a different drasha for the pasuk. According to Rav, there'll be a different drasha for the pasuk, which is what Ashkach Tani Rabbi Shmuel says like this: Chavosh Nasah Shev, Vosh Nasah Shemitah. The pasuk says the seventh year is coming, the Shemitah year is coming. Lo Yish Nasah Shev, Vosh Nasah Shemitah. Isn't the seventh year the Shemitah year? Umal Tamal Mekavosh Nasah Shev, Vosh Nasah Shemitah. Same question as before. Why have a repetitive wording? And to which we say, Shlo Tamal, we shouldn't say this. If I would lend the person is saying like this, if I would lend the money during the regular 6 years, his field is in front of me and his carob is in front of me. In other words, I'm allowed to collect. If I lend someone money, I know that he'll be able to pay me back because he has income coming in from his field. He has produce growing on his field, and he'll be able to pay me off on those things. But now, now that 6 years are over, now it's Kavash Nasa Sheva, now I'm lending the person money during Shemitah. It's the year, the seventh year. He can't work his field, so he's not going to be able to pay me back this year. And then, it's going to come the end of Shemitah, and also the Torah is going to cancel the loan. So I'm lending the person money during Shemitah. I know that during Shemitah he is basically no one paying back because he can't gain anything from his field. Then come the end of Shemitah, he's not going to pay me back either, because the person's concerned for the money. Even though the seventh year is coming, then he won't be able to pay back. And then the end of Shemitah is going to come, it's going to cut off the loan, even though the Torah tells you that you should lend the money anyhow, and you should not be worried about it. So this is a different drasha, and according to that drasha, it was not a loan that can't be collected when Shemitah ended. It's just that the guy had no money to pay back with. So what Rav was making a different point, which was, Rav has a chiddush to say, is that if the people made up that they will not demand the loan is not collectible at all, even so Shemitah cancels the loan. So Rav has a point, even if we have a drasha for this passage. Now we can also say this. The Mishnah had said, if a person owes someone money because they were ma'anas or mafatu or mochi shema, then that shmius is not mashamat that loan. It's not mashamat that responsibility to pay. Rav, Tramehi, the mission is going to Tramehi, which is to say, it's a stamish of Ramehi, because Tramehi, Amar, Benova, Hadar, Toli, the only things that get canceled at the end of Shemitah are loans. Benova, Hadar, it depends on things being a Nova. These are not Novas, these are not loans. This is just a responsibility. You owe someone money for doing something wrong to them, and therefore, you have to pay it up, even though Shemitah came, the end of Shemitah came. The Chomai Sebesen, the mission also says, if Bezen makes a decision that someone, Maisa Bezen does not get canceled, the one explained, Ilu Dizrei Dinim, that's when Bezen makes a decision, makes a determination that someone owes money, they make up Psak Din, and then the Din is, you are allowed to collect the money. So it goes like this. Pshita Masa, the following thing is Pasha. Milvashi Tzarech Kafanas, Enem Shemetes. A loan, which
Nasis Kafranas alone, which turned into a something that was denied. In other words, today I lent you $10, and then tomorrow you denied that you owe me that money. If you said you never borrowed it, or you said paid it up, whatever it is, and so in some way you it turned into something that was denied. Any mishemitis, then when the end of the week comes, that one does not get canceled, and the reason is because that's not a loan that someone's able to collect. The only kinds of loans that we had said, the loans that are canceled, the loans that just don't collect from the person. Well, in this, you're not holding by collecting from this person because this person's denying it. So basically, right now it's in court, and someone's trying to decide whether he really owes the money or not. Such a loan is not something that Shemitah is Meshamit because it's not something that that you're even claiming basically from the person because he's stuck. You can't claim from. You're still fighting as whether he owes you the money. And another case is also partial, which is kafara shinasis melva. What happens if the person was denying that he owes you the money, and then he admits to it, or comes to court and it was decided that he owes the money, and it turns back into a melva? Then mishametis. Now it's a regular loan, and it's shmitis mishametis. So those are the two things that are partial. But Rabbi Yirmi is the following, based on those two pashtos of din, he is the following question. In the Midas Hadin came, does that work for the Midas Hadin? It doesn't work for the Shemitah part of it, but for the collection part of it, the financial part of it, which is, and the word is going like this, he means the following, like, it only means the following. This is the case that we have a question about. Milva Shinasis Milva. A milva, or kafranis, kafranis, shihinasis milva. The point is the same. The person, someone had borrowed money from someone, and then he denied the money, so it was a kafranis. He had now turned back into a loan. Now they changed back into agreeing that he owes the money. So the question is like this. The din, min hatar, the din is that if a person lends someone else money, he needs to collect from his property, he collects from his zibur, from the worst lands that he has. He has no rights to say he wants a specific land. The person give him any garbage land that he has, the worst piece of land that he has, he can give him to pay up his loan. The Chacham made a takana that when a person borrows money from somebody else, he has to pay him back with baininess, with average land, and he can't pay him back with zibur, with this very poor quality land. The reason why the Chacham did that was because they want people to lend money. Because if you know you're going to get ziburis, people might not be willing to lend money, so they made a rule you have to give them back baininess. So the question is like this. In this case, going to baininess, does he collect from baininess, which is what? It was a loan. Well, since it was a loan, now that it's back to being its original loan, so collect from baininess. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that we just said that when it becomes a kafranis, the loan is not, shmit is not mishamit. So maybe we should say it is when it becomes a loan, when it became to, now that it came back to being removed, it's like a fresh loan. Well, this is a fresh loan that didn't have someone borrowing money from each other. It's like sort of blossomed out of no place that we have a what we call a loan. So maybe for that case, there's no reason to have a takana chacham. The chacham don't make a takana get baininess because else you won't lend. That's not what's going on over here. Here, the loan just came from no place. So Rabbi Yirmi leaves us with the question, that person can collect from baininess or he cannot collect from baininess. And now the Gemara concludes with the following. Hamalva l'mashkin, the Mishnah had said, is that if you lend money to the mashkin, then shmit is not mishamin. Shmuel amra afil al-machad. Shmuel says, that's even talking about if you lent the person and the mashkin was just one needle, and there's a tiny amount, which is obviously not an amount as big as a loan. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, "Sheyil chazachicha tashmit idecha," if you, what you have from your friend should become Shemitah should be mishamed what the borrower has from the lender. But it excludes what the lender has from the borrower. If you have something from the borrower, then you can't collect. The Marfoba ones that it means is, this is according to Shmuel, who says that when a person takes a mashkin, and even if the mashkin is worth just a few pennies, it's just a needle, even so, the whole loan is hanging on that. If he loses that machad, he loses the whole loan, so you have the whole loan in your hand. That's how our full loan is. And then we make another drasha, only what you have in your hand should the Shemitah cut off, and that it tells us, for him, much as of the best in, but not someone who gives over his documents to Bezin. He tells Bezin to collect it. So then it's not, you don't have the loan in your hand, Bezin has the loan in your hand. So that case is also Shemitah is not Misham.